You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm going to dive straight into the message this week. If you've missed previous weeks, then do take a listen either online. You go to the website, you click and you can find the sermons and stuff there. Or if not, come and see me afterwards. I'd be really happy to either help you find those or to give you a CD. Hopefully, this series on called Teach Me to Pray has been really useful. And today, I'm going to introduce our title. And actually, what I've done over previous weeks in order to introduce the title is to ask a question. Well, I was asking this question, and as I was doing some research around this, again, there's the internet is a fabulous resource for many, many different things. There's a lot of rubbish on there as well. Obviously, we were speaking out before, fake news and so on. But there's a couple of websites, as I was speaking to friends and colleagues and saying, hey, this is quite a big topic this morning. What could we be talking about? What could we be looking at? Pointed me to the Desiring God website. I don't know if you've come across that one, but John Piper tends to answer lots of questions. And again, whatever you think about John Piper or not, there's some interesting things that he had to say. But this question that I want us to consider this morning was raised, and John Piper engaged with this question. And this is what the question was that was put to him, and I think it helps us shape some of our thinking this morning. It says, how much confidence should we voice in petitioning God for physical healing? It somehow feels wrong or cheap to pray, God, heal this person, but if you don't, that's okay, your will be done. I feel less genuine in my asking God to move on someone's behalf when I'm constantly also acknowledging to myself that he might not, and I must acknowledge it. So how can we rightly pray in confidence and with authority on someone's behalf for healing while remaining in full submission to the mystery of God's will? Now, I know that's quite a big question, but did any of that hit a nerve with you? Think about it just for a moment. I'm pretty sure everybody here has asked God to heal someone. Have they? Or have they not? Yeah? So we're all in the same place. We've all been in that place, haven't we? So let me read that question to you again and thinking, how does this question help? Do you identify with this question? It says, how much confidence should we voice in petitioning or asking God for physical healing for someone? It somehow feels wrong or cheap to pray, God, heal this person, but if you don't, that's okay, your will be done. Has anybody prayed like that? He continues, I feel less genuine in asking God to move on someone's behalf when I'm constantly also acknowledging to myself that he might not, and I must acknowledge it. So how can we rightly pray in confidence with authority on someone's behalf for healing while remaining in full submission to the mystery of God's will? Does that make sense? Does that shape? I thought that was quite a good way to look at our question this morning, one of the mysteries of praying for healing. Today we're going to attempt to answer that. How do we develop our prayer lives further? God, teach me to pray and pray for healing. So right at the start of this message, let's just be genuinely honest with each other. We've got 20 minutes or so to look at this topic. I'm not going to be able to unpack absolutely everything here this morning. But hopefully part of these messages, I might be tackling it a different way to what you would expect when we say we want to pray for healing. And I hope maybe this is, again, very freeing this week, but maybe break some chains or destroy some of the myths around praying for healing. And Mary led us in that song, open our eyes, Lord. We want our eyes to be opened that we might be able to see this question about healing more clearly. Now, one of the tensions that John Piper brought to answer this question, because, you know, how do we engage with that? What does the Bible say is what we said before. Well, to answer that question, he said there's a potential prayer puzzle. So if you were to look in a couple of places this morning, and these, again, are in your notice sheets this morning. So if you've got a notice sheet, I've made a note of these verses if there's something you want to come back to. But Mark 11, 23 to 24, and Luke 22. So if you want to stick your finger in Mark 11 and Luke 22, these are two verses in a sense, you could say, are in contradiction to each other? Or how do you hold these two verses together and see what God is saying? Is there a tension? So Mark 11 first, it's 22 to 24. So Mark 11, 22 to 24, if you've got your Bibles open, it says this. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in their hearts, but believes that what they will say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Mark 11, 22 to 24. So therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. It's fairly clear instructions, isn't it? Okay. Luke 22, 42. Again, Jesus is speaking here. Luke 22, 42. And Jesus is saying here, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. So here is a tension. We're told to ask for anything in Jesus' name. Believe it, say it, and it will happen. Now, can you put verses in here? Because it's very, you've got to be careful when you start playing scriptures off against that. Verses a sovereign God who we recognize can do all things according to his will and not ours. Again, Jesus' words have been said there. Your will be done, not my will be done. So what I'm trying to set as a foundation this morning is the fact that sometimes we think, well, I can pray in that authority. I can pray in Jesus' name. I'm told to pray in all things. And yet, whatever God, your will be done. And that's where I thought that question was quite interesting at the beginning, where somebody saying, well, if I'm praying for somebody, how can I come to this God and say, I know you can do all this stuff and I pray for this and I bring it to you and you say in your name it will be done. But actually, you might not, because it's your will be done. And holding that intention. And maybe for some of us in the room, we've been in that place. We say, well, how do we hold that intention? Or how do we see how the Spirit of God moves in that? And hopefully, that's what I'm going to unpick a little bit this morning. I haven't lost you already, have I? Good. Thank you. So I hopefully, this is a helpful tension in as much as this is probably something we've all felt. I've prayed, I know I should pray, but maybe God won't answer, or maybe God will do what God wants to do best. Maybe if you can remember back to last week when we looked at praying in the Spirit, it goes hand in hand, praying in the Spirit goes hand in hand with knowing God's will. And knowing God's will was something we looked at in week two of the message. And there is hopefully that chain-breaking freedom that comes when we pray in the Spirit. If you remember back to last week, it's not about us forcing things. It's not about us trying to do stuff in our own strength. When we pray in the Spirit, we get caught up with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God takes hold of our prayers. It inflames our prayers, and they go bigger and higher and further, and they are more powerful when God takes hold of our prayers than when we try and force something into being. If you remember the carrier bag I said last week, you try blowing a carrier bag around, it's a bit of a daft thing to do anyway, but it's really difficult and it's not going to go very far. But you release a carrier bag in the wind again this morning, and there's probably a few blowing around out there today, they go further and higher and whatever. And that's like the Spirit of God. Sometimes you just got to let go of something into that, into God's presence or into that Spirit, and it goes bigger and higher and further. And that's what we were talking about last week. Well, that sounds good, but are there any scriptures maybe to support our thinking this morning and help us understand things further? Now, our reading was from Matthew 7. And again, thank you, Petro. It does, in some versions and not in every translation, has that title, Ask, Seek, Knock. And actually, it's quite a liberating passage that comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it holds our attention at the beginning. Verse 7 says this, we're back in Matthew 7, verse 7. It says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes with your prayers, you think, great, I've got my shopping list. I'll bring that to God. I'll ask, I'll seek, I'll knock. I'll put it into the holy vending machine, and it will come out the other end, as we've said before. But actually, that passage, if we could move on from verses 7, 8 to verse 11, you will see that Jesus says, if then, or you then, who are evil, know how to give good things, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? And I wonder if our attention is pulled together with this. You see, a good parent doesn't always give a child what they want, but good things that will benefit them. Now, I like examples, and my dear friend Rob is a good example because he likes ice cream. Who likes ice cream? Majority of people. Martin definitely put his hand up very quickly. But like ice cream. Rob really, really likes ice cream. He'll tell you the best places in the country to go and get ice cream and all sorts of things. He's a bit of an ice cream connoisseur. Kids generally like ice cream. Allergies aside, kids generally like ice cream. And I wonder if, given the choice, they would have ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yes, some would. Some adults would as well. Please, Darren, thank you very much. But, of course, as a good parent, you wouldn't give kids ice cream, even though they ask for it, for breakfast, lunch and dinner, not for three meals a day. There are other things that a child and an adult needs in their diet in order to have a balanced diet. And having a balanced diet obviously will make them healthy. There's no harm in anybody asking for ice cream. But we know we are loved when we're actually given what we need. And when we're given what we need and it makes us feel good and on top of our game, we can function well. We're not having sugar crashes and meltdowns. I need more ice cream. You know, we've got that balanced life. Then actually, our health is improved. It's not just a case of eating ice cream and getting what I want all the time. So how does that actually relate to prayer? Well, my encouragement is to always pray and pray with a confidence that God's not going to withhold anything from us. So that's how we pray. We pray and pray with a confidence. God is not going to withhold anything from us. But rather we pray. So we pray with that confidence that my request is this, but actually in the recognition that God may answer with something better. Now, I wouldn't say when God withholds something from us that it's worse. So if our attitude of God is good, then whenever God answers, we might pray for something, but wherever God answers, it would be better. Does that make sense? Better than ice cream, a child might say. What's better than ice cream? Broccoli is never better than ice cream. I think broccoli's... Yeah, I'm with you, Debs, on that one. You know... Our body needs broccoli to survive. You don't need Brussels sprouts. You don't need cauliflower. No, you don't. Everybody says Brussels sprouts are lovely when they go with, and then they say garlic or whatever. Yeah, you don't, because they're horrible. They're part of the fall, honestly. You don't find them in Genesis. Broccoli must be in there somewhere. I digress. Having that balanced diet... It needs that balance. It needs certain things in order to survive. And I believe this is where God answers our prayers in the same way. We might want answers to healing prayers, and we should pray with a confidence, always pray with that confidence. God can heal, but just maybe sometimes he has a different plan. We're taught to pray, aren't we? Jesus' prayer, your kingdom come and your will be done. So we need to listen to that answer. And let me say this as well. I have prayed for some situations, and I think, you know, amongst us here, we've prayed for some stuff, and I would have to agree with God, I don't understand the answer, and I'm probably not going to understand the answer this side of eternity. However, I have learned to be okay with that. You know, I felt that I prayed, I believed in the prayer, and God, however you answered that, I might disagree with you, Lord, but that's from my sinful place, in a sense. And I'm going to have to agree to that. I'm not going to understand that this side of eternity. And then what I mustn't do in that process is then pick up some stuff and carry it for the rest of my life with that not fair attitude. There comes a point where it's really, really hard sometimes, but we have to let go of some things and say, Lord, I have given that to you. Why? Because your ways are higher than my ways. Your plans are not my plans. And God has plans for us, even in the really, really difficult stuff. And did it get any more difficult for our Lord? This is where I came to with this. Let's look at an example. If we want a biblical example of how tough it could get, well, let's look at God himself. Turn to Romans 8:32. Have a quick look at that verse. Romans 8:32. If we want to know how tough it can get, Romans 8:32, it says this: He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know, we have a God who knows exactly how we feel. We know a God, our God, who knows exactly how we feel. And I think in some situations that God alone has the wisdom to be able to see all things. And actually for us, a lot of us where we fear death, I believe God can bring life. And actually when you look at Jesus, when you look at the story, the narrative of what God allowed to happen to his own son, would we have come up with such a story or such a plan? It's just not in our nature, is it? That's not the way we would bring salvation for the world. And yet God was prepared to give up his one and only son, to spare his own son for the sake of saving you and me. And it's very difficult, I think, sometimes when we're praying for situations and sometimes praying for healing, and that person does not come through. And sometimes we say, well, what is that all about? Well, we have a Father in heaven who identifies with that. And sometimes death is the answer. We've said this down at the well when we've done some of the healing training there. And Anna said, you know, sometimes the ultimate healing is actually death. You know, that death will come, but we have that promise of new life and that new body. So the thinking that I'm looking at this morning comes back to considering for us, you know, what are we actually living for? What are we living for? Because when we pray for lots of things, we pray for particular healings or particular things, what are we actually praying for? And I wonder, is it to get everything we can out of this life? Are we a people that are living for eternity? And obviously, if we're a people that are living for eternity, you might have remembered the rope thing that I did before. The rope went right out to the other room. You couldn't see the end of the rope. It could have gone on forever, as far as you know. And I had a little bit of masking tape on one end, and that represented your life. And actually, if you remember on that masking tape, I drew a little red line, and that little red line represented retirement. And we spend all of that bit trying to live for that bit when we're not aware of the bit that carries on forever and ever and ever. And we put so much focus onto so much and so little in a sense. So if for God, death was the victory, how then should we be praying for healing? Now, we don't want to be praying that everybody dies. Don't get me wrong with that. But actually, how then do we pray for healing? Because sometimes I think we can feel failures if we've prayed and felt God hasn't answered our prayer in a particular way. And hopefully, this is where the message over the last 5 weeks start coming together. You know, God will give us all things that we ask for in his name as we become obedient to following his will. So when we pray for good things, we pray from a position of assurance of knowing that what we're praying for is from God. And where do we get that assurance from? Well, of course, we get it from the scriptures and we're looking at that. But also, I think assurance comes from that revelation. When we were talking last week about praying in the Spirit, You know, we need that relationship with God first. If we're praying to a God to do something for his power to manifest and we don't even know him, we need to get our relationship right with God first. And when we've got that relationship right, we do need to hear from God. And when we hear from God, we will know God's will. And summing up the message from the other weeks as well, you know, when we recognize who God is, when we have that relationship with him, he says we are adopted into his family. We are sons and daughters, and he is our good father. And if he's our good father, we've read today, the good father will only give his children good things. We who are evil know how to give good things. How much more will our Father in heaven? And we need to be obedient in responding to what God says. And I think one of the key things that's coming out more through the messages is for a lot of us here, there's still stuff we've got to let go of. There's still stuff for us as a congregation, as individuals, that we're carrying that we're not supposed to be carrying. And we're carrying it because we think that it relies upon us and that we can't let that go to God. There's stuff we're not supposed to carry. We need to reach that place of humility, like we were saying last week, praying in the Spirit, where we bring those requests to God, we listen to what God says, and we hand those things over to him. And he can bring that healing. So how do we bring our requests to God then? How do we pray, Darren? Because that's obviously kind of what we're raising as a question here this morning. I think it really depends on the type of person that God's called us to be. You can certainly look around the room and see everybody's not the same. And it'd be boring if we're all the same as well, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. But we don't all have the same natural gifts, and we don't all have the same spiritual gifts. Again, a verse I hope you think I'll be turning to this morning will be in 1 Corinthians. So if you want to have a quick flick through to 1 Corinthians 12. Good passage about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be starting in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at 8 through to 10, it says this: to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, we are all given different gifts. Whether you think that's a gift of wisdom or faith, or gifts of healings. Note there's a double plural in there. You can unpick that if you want to dive into something a little bit deeper after the message. Why is there a double plural? Gifts of healings. These are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And my understanding is that not all of us have them all the time. And if you don't have a particular gift, then it's not a sin. Some people might say some of the gifts have passed away. That's another whole message on its own. What I do believe is if God wants something done and we are in his will and we are listening to him and we are obedient to what he is calling us to do, then I'm pretty sure he is going to give us the power in order for that to happen. Or Holy Spirit will work through us that we might see that particular thing come about. Whether that is the miraculous or the ordinary, if God wants his plans accomplished, I know a God who will accomplish that. That is the God that I know. And there's some great biblical examples of healing gifts, but healing gifts that come and go. And this is why I want this to be freeing this morning. A point to note is that one person doesn't necessarily have the monopoly on all the healing types of gifts. It says there are gifts of healings. Now, I wonder, and again, this was something I looked into a little bit, some people might have a gift of healing a particular thing, and someone might have a gift of healing another thing. And it might be that you have given a particular gift to do a particular thing because God has taken you to a particular place in order for his power and his glory to be seen. But not necessarily has everything all the time. And let's have a look at a good person in the Bible who looks at that. And I've put these in your notice sheet as well, if you want to go back and have a look at these verses, just so that you can go back and study later. Paul is a really, really good example. And I'm going to quote to you from this Desiring God article I was reading about gifts coming and going. Can everybody heal all the time? Well, let's look at Paul's experience. It says, God gave him the grace to heal the crippled man in Lystra. You can look that up in Acts 14:10. And many people in Ephesus, again, Acts 19 through 20. And the demonized girl in Philippi, Acts 16. And Eutychus, when he was taken up dead after falling out of a window in Acts 20. But Paul could not heal himself from the thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. Or from the ailment that he had when he preached in Galatia, you can see in Galatians 4. And evidently, he couldn't heal Timothy from his stomach ailments. You can read that in 1 Timothy 5. Or Epaphroditus from his life-threatening sickness, which you can read in Philippians 2. Or Trophimus, whom he left ill at Miletus in 2 Timothy 4. It seems sometimes Paul was given gifts of healings and sometimes he wasn't. God is sovereign in this affair. Nothing is mechanical or automatic. Now, I don't know what you think to that, but you can go back and have a look at those afterwards. Why did Paul heal some? Why did he not heal others? So the answer to the question that was put to John Piper, how do we pray with that confidence and authority and submission to God's will? Well, John says we need to rest on the promise of Jesus in Matthew 7:11. That God knows how to give good things. And what we read in that Romans 8:32, remembering that this God who knows how to give good things knows us and knows where we stand and how difficult it is sometimes. And Romans 8:32 said, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? You see, there's actually a bit of symmetry in there. God knows how to give good things. And that was Paul's experience. So is there a tension actually in that question this morning? But actually, what we recognize is that Jesus' death purchases all things. So anything is possible with God. And therefore, we have a Heavenly Father who always gives good things. The only difference is that you and I might disagree on what's good. Whether it's ice cream or sprouts or broccoli, whatever, we've all got an opinion. And sometimes when we bring things to God and we know what the answer should be, we might just have a difference of opinion in what the good things are. Our perspective might be different on what is good. Therefore, when praying for healing, I think we need to be mindful of loosely holding those things before God. Of course, we share our hearts honestly with him. We're obedient in the Spirit. And when the Spirit tells us to pray and seek to use the gifts he's poured out upon us, when he calls us to pray for people, then I believe we will see some of those things happen. But if we're forcing situations, then God, who knows how to give good things, will give good things. I've had the weirdest times of praying for people healing. I mean, we had a healing evening going on here. We were having some teaching about it. And dear old Trev, who's gone now, he came in and said, I've had hiccups for 3 days. Pastor, will you pray for me? The doctors can't do anything. I've tried everything. And I need my hiccups healed. And I said, well, okay, well, we can pray. We can ask God to do that. It seemed a bit random that we were talking about healing that evening and someone came in and asked for healing. So he sat down, I put a hand on his shoulder, I prayed for him that God would heal his hiccups. And he went, thanks very much. And he jumped up and I'm like, sit down. You haven't given God a chance to heal you yet. And as he sat down, he went, they've gone. They've gone. I can't believe it. They've gone. And my answer to him is, well, look, God's healed your hiccups, but he wants to heal your heart. That's the thing that he really wants to heal. And that was where I believe the power came. The Spirit of God came. He can heal hiccups, but it was his heart that was more important. And actually, God sometimes can manifest his power in the strangest of ways and other times not. But I would like to encourage us this morning, when we pray with that confidence, in a sense, holding those things loosely. But when the power of God comes, when we're in that obedient place, I believe we will see him get the glory. I'm going to pray you, just play you just a quick testimony. It's a testimony video. It's 3 minutes long. I'm conscious of time. We're well on time this morning, and then we'll break bread after this. But I want you to, this is a guy, you might recognize him. He's a preacher out in America. But have a listen to this testimony.
If you haven't followed kind of the last decade of kind of what's going on in my own life, I was diagnosed with a primary brain tumor. I was given 2 to 3 years to live. That was 6 years ago. And so upon that time, I found that good friends of mine kind of divided into two camps. And there were the kind of will of God will be done people. And so they were just like, hey, just the will of God's going to be done. I know that's going to, you know, you just find comfort in the will of God being done. And then I had other friends who thought if I would just have enough faith, if I would just believe firmly that Jesus would heal me, then he would heal me. And so I really struggled with both of those, right? I struggled with if the will of God is how I'm supposed to pray, it's evident in the scriptures that the will of God will be done. And what I see in the Bible is a command for me to pray for the sick, to ask for healing, and to ask God to restore and make right the broken pieces of us, including our physical bodies. And so yes and amen to the will of God being done. I never want to say anything contrary to let the will of God be done, but I needed to do something with the text over and over again that appealed to me to pray for healing and to plead in some ways for my own life. And so here's how I understand it biblically. I'm going to ask and believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God are going to heal the people that I'm praying for, and then I'm going to hold it with an open hand. And that's a wrestle inside myself, kind of that Psalm 42 where David's arguing with himself. Sometimes I've got to ask God for more faith to believe that my prayers could be used in that way. But if you're sick and I show up in your hospital room, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to heal you, and I'm going to fully expect him to do it. In that moment, I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit to heal you in that moment while I'm praying supernaturally, freaking doctors out, having you just immediately feel better so that there can be no credit given to anyone other than the King of Glory. And so I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit to do that. I'm gonna believe the Holy Spirit will, and then I'm gonna hold it with open hands, knowing that the will of God is going to be accomplished. And so if that happens via supernatural intervention, then praise his name. If that happens via the common graces of medicine and doctors and surgeries, then praise his name. He's the one that's given us common graces. And if he has chosen in his divine sovereignty that the days in which you would live and the times of your habitation are coming to a close, and he's going to call you on home, I'm going to hold that with an open hand. And so that's how I've always tried to navigate these waters, where I'm going to just boldly pray and expect. And to be honest, I'm going to be frustrated when I don't see it. Then I'm going to ask the Lord why I didn't see it and confess that I want to see him work in a supernatural way. Maybe not even just through me, but just in a way that blows the minds of those who doubt in his goodness and grace.
Was that helpful? Yeah. This is a huge, huge topic. I said at the beginning, 20 minutes isn't long enough to dive into all of this. It's something actually we've been looking at over the last couple of years. CPM have come down, Christian Prayer Ministries. Maurice Markham, as a number of you will know, has come and done some good teaching on this. Anne's come down from the well and offers some teaching on this as well. And we will have further opportunities to press into this on a deeper level. But this series is called Teach Me to Pray. And actually, I want us to have that sense, that holistic approach to developing a prayer life, where we start to wake up and we actually have that hunger to pray, that hunger to pray more and to see God move in mighty power. And as Matt was saying on the video there, you know, just that expecting God to do stuff and expecting God can do that in that moment. And I hope many of us would have seen times where that has happened. But equally, the tension we hold with that is there's many times we have prayed and we've not seen it. And like Matt was saying, we come to God and say, you're going to have to let me, We're going to have a conversation about that one. I don't get it. But what I would say as part of this and part of our prayer life is where we've got those things, we bring them to God and we hold them loosely. None of us are meant to carry any burdens of my prayer wasn't answered. I didn't have enough faith. And I want us to be set free from any of that this morning. And I know for some in the room, and I'll be very careful with what I say, but I know for some that the fear of letting go and giving those things to God might make you feel that you're betraying someone or something, and that you've actually, by letting go of the pain, you're letting go of either the thing or the person. And actually what we need to do is lovingly commit that to God, knowing that he only gives us good things. And I believe that's where personal healing will come in that moment as well. We don't carry those things. I mean, Debbie will tell you, when you pray at the well and stuff, you have a cutting off prayer at the end. If you speak to Morris and he prayed for you 3 years ago, so remember when you prayed, he would say, do you know, I prayed for God to wipe the slate clean. I didn't need to carry that. Whatever I prayed for you, if God answered it, wonderful. But it's not something I'm now carrying. And I think, again, for us as Christians, when we pray for these things, it's good to remember to let those things go and give them to God. And in that spirit, this morning, we're going to come and break bread together. We're going to gather around that communion table. And this is the place where we come, in a sense, to the foot of the cross. We don't probably speak enough about the cross. But I want us, just for that moment, the scriptures call us to examine ourselves before we come and break bread together. We don't want to come in that unworthy way, do we? And maybe this is what I've been talking about with this Teach Me to Pray over these last few weeks. You know, how do we come to God? Do we know him? Do we recognize that we are adopted into his family? Can we lay some of those things at the foot of the cross this morning, recognizing that Jesus paid that price for us all? Romans 8:32, if you want to memorize that verse this week, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? You know, what a wonderful God that we come before. And we can come to that foot of the cross this morning. And again, if there's maybe, and I just really get the sense that Holy Spirit is saying this morning, there are folk that are still carrying stuff that you're not meant to be carrying. And this morning, we can just, in our minds, you know, we don't need to jump out of our seats or anything, but in our minds, we can say, Lord, I'm just going to lay that at the foot of the cross today. Whatever that burden is, whatever that grief is, whatever that pain might be, or whatever that sorrow is, or whatever that prayer is, God, I know I can give that to you this morning, and that you're a good God who will meet that prayer in the right way.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.